broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brewer Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I want to start off today's show by basically giving my condolences to the family of Jamie White, InfoWars reporter, who was found murdered. Sad story. That story is still developing. We really don't have any details about that. But again, my deepest condolences to the family. By the way, you know, somebody thought it was a good idea to actually allow Kamala Harris to speak at a major AI conference. Now, if you want to watch something funny this morning and it'll really give you good laughter, watch Kamala Harris speaking at the AI conference. Her main topic was nacho cheese Doritos. And she said, instead of former vice, I'm just going to read you this because I can't even make this up. You got to watch the video. Former Vice President Harris will share her visions for the future of AI, emphasizing the responsibility to shape this technology in a way that promotes human rights, privacy, and equal opportunity. Business Wire suggested when Harris was announced as a speaker. Instead, she blathered on about how she is obsessed with nacho cheese Doritos. Quote, we did DoorDash. This is what she's saying during the conference, because I wanted Doritos. Yeah, she looks like she needs more Doritos. And the red carpet part was about to start. Nobody wanted to leave to go to the grocery store. So it was DoorDash. So I was willing to give up whatever might be tracking of Kamala Harris' particular fondness of nacho cheese Doritos for the sake of getting a big bag of Doritos as I watched the Oscars. She further blathered. She continued, and you can debate with me if I should be right. I think it should, to expect that the innovation would be also weighed in terms of solving the everyday problems, which is beyond my craving for Doritos. But whatever, and I know the work is happening, the scientific discoveries, for example, to cure long-standing diseases in combination with talking about Doritos.
What are you talking about?
No, this is unbelievable.
I came into the show. Hey, guys, I'm here. Glad to be with you. I came into the show, and I have no idea what context you're talking about.
So she shifts from Doritos and DoorDash to curing diseases, and then she says she wants to afford in resources involving the affordable housing issue in America. I don't know if she's on drugs. Okay, I don't know. She sounds like she's mixing methyldiazepines with alcohol.
Yeah,
I mean, this girl sounds like a zombie.
Do you have any purple sticks over there?
Yeah, I do. I got one left. I just took one a minute ago.
And
one of the comments was, "I'm so glad she's still out there talking and reminding everyone daily how good we have it with Trump." You know, then someone else says, "What is she talking about? Please make it make sense." Actually, it could have been worse. She could have been president. We dodged a bullet. Every time you hear Kamala Harris talk, you think it's not real. Yes, somehow it's real, and it's exactly as bad as it actually is.
So, Doritos, bro.
No, she's the perfect reason why you don't mix alcohol with Xanax. And, you know, and if you've ever known anybody who's mixed alcohol with Xanax, it's a weird situation. I've seen them walk around, you're like a zombie, and you're like, okay. But then they put her on a platform and they pay her to speak, Austin. How in the world could she be drawing a crowd in order to cover her salary? I don't understand any of this.
She's not drawing the crowd. Unless people have reached a point now where they're just coming because it's really just trying like a comedy show.
Or they're bringing Beyonce on before her to try to get somebody in the seats.
Beyonce, I think, didn't show up.
No, Beyonce didn't show up.
She's like, I don't want to be associated with Colin Harris.
My gosh. So honestly, if we're dealing with Putin, we're dealing with Ukraine. Imagine if we had to deal with this nightmare on top
actual
of everything else.
Actual sitting president. Yes. Her getting in press conferences and talking about her Doritos.
Well, I mean, it's bad enough watching Joe Biden take a dump in his pants on a doggone platform. Forgive my vernacular. I don't know how else to say that. Excuse me. It was bad enough watching Joe Biden forget about wearing his Depends on the platform and bending down and basically defecating in his own pants and his wife having to march him off the stage. That was bad enough. If we had this in the White House, bring me more Xanax. I need more Xanax. Bring me another drink. I mean, what
is
wrong with this
one? She'd
be
some stupid stuff. She'd be like, listen, we're giving a rebate check to everyone for Taco Bell so you can all get free bean and beefy cheesy burritos.
We're sending you $3.95.
Yeah, that's just some stupid
stuff. Is wrong with this person? But I just sit back and I watch this. I think
anyway, another reason why to make sure you're maintaining your memory and your health, memory support. Great supplement. I need to send her a bottle.
Will this remind you to get here on time next time?
I was here on time. I was going to run around trying to get more product for everybody.
You were here before the show started.
I know.
You disappeared.
I'm trying to make sure everybody's taken care of. the inventory. We've been burning through that, so I got more stuff coming in. So I've been on phone calls. So, again, thank you guys for your support. The special product discount page, I told you guys we've been adding more stuff to it. So be sure to check that out and stay updated on it. And also sign up for the weekly newsletter. On top of that, the podcast, The Brower Show, which we're updating every single day. The last one we did yesterday, Media Lies to EPA Bribes, Following the Money Trail. Great show, and a lot of other ones that we've done for the last week. So make sure you're staying up to date and getting the email updates on here. Put your name, email, sign up for The Brower Show and Health Masters, and we'll give you guys updates every single day. So be sure checking that out. And I saw a good one, too. It's now official. Utah has become the first state to fully implement a full fluoride ban on all drinking water. They signed it last week. It is now gone into full effect. They're basically pulling the stuff out now. And
hydrofluorosilicic acid.
It's a big deal for a state. This should have never happened in the 40s. The fact that it's taken 80 years now.
Well, they've done this down enough.
80 now. Years to backtrack this is pretty insane. But again,
rat poison.
Yeah, this is something that we added to the water supply. Never made any sense, because even if they're talking about fluoride for cavities, do people not brush their teeth? Do people not have the ability to get fluoride toothpaste, which is already unbelievably toxic? Why do you need to add it to the drinking water?
Again, well, because of the lies. I mean, there was a big debate in Bartow. It made national news yesterday. You see it out here in Polk County.
Huh.
Oh, yeah, this dentist comes up and decides to have a big debate with the doggone county commissioners and the people in Bartow and basically another person who's against fluoride. Oh, it happened in Bartow. We made national news with that yesterday.
Okay. Well, I know Winter Haven banned it.
Well, Winter Haven banned it. Now Bartow wants to ban it. And, you know, now they're saying, oh, you're not protecting the children's teeth. So the dentist comes in and brings a bunch of pictures of rotten teeth and says, this is what's going to happen to everybody. Total lie. I don't use fluoride. My teeth aren't rotten. You know, I mean, I got pretty good teeth, actually. And you think, well, you know, oh, well, let me put it this way. If you're going to have people out there, they're going to be eating junk all day long, and not having practicing proper hygiene and brush your teeth. Okay, you may have some rotten teeth, but you're going to have that with or without fluoride.
Well, that's the issue that I have, such a big, big pet peeve with this entire argument about fluoride, is that nobody wants to address what's actually causing the cavities.
That's right.
It's the excessive sugar and the high fructose corn syrup and the gummy candies and doggone phosphoric acid and the Coca-Cola. All these different things play a significant role in rotting the enamel and getting cavities in teeth. Nobody wants to address that. So everybody goes, juice fluoride. Fluoride doesn't offset the damage from sugar and gummy candy.
Does not.
Teeth. It doesn't offset it at all. It doesn't even make your teeth stronger. The research has clearly shown that even the slightest amount of excess fluoride causes dental fluorosis, which causes the teeth to dissolve and crumble and turn yellow and start dissolving. So the entire argument with putting in the water supply makes no sense. If somebody really wants to have fluoride treatment, there's plenty of options on the shelf at Walmart. Get your fluoride fill of toothpaste, unbelievably toxic stuff they have on there. You can use it all you want. But putting it in the water supply and subjecting the entire population to fluoride based on some people getting cavities because of unbelievably poor diets makes zero sense.
Well, it makes no sense at all. In fact, there's a really good book I read about this back in the 80s. It was called Fluoride, The Aging Factor by Yami Yadis.
Yeah.
Probably the absolute best book ever written on fluoride. It's still available as a used book. I'm not sure if they're still in print or not. But Fluoride, The Aging Factor, if you want to know. But, I mean, everybody already knows that. It's rat poison is what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it was basically put into the water supply after they found it in Dachau in the concentration camps in 1945.
Well, I mean, even CNN published it. Children exposed to higher fluoride levels have lower IQs. I mean, CNN, fake news network, is even covering it now.
The communist news
network. Nobody can deny it anymore. I mean, that attention factor just kicked in. I just felt that.
Oh, great.
Here we go.
I didn't have it.
Now it's a show. All right, you guys ready for this one? Next story that's popping up on here. Ukraine has now been classified as the world's largest arms importer.
And exporter, I may add.
We'll get into that one. Okay, now you guys got to understand, Ukraine is the size, actually it's a little bit smaller than Texas. It's that little one over here. Okay, so they now are importing more firearms than India. In every other country, as far as importing weapons, they are the number one weapons importer. Now, here's the part you guys are going to get a kick out of this, so follow me on this one. At the same time now, Ukraine imports have increased nearly 100-fold. Nearly 100 times. At the same time this is happening, regionally, Africa's import of weapons has dropped 44%. On the books, I might add. So you got to understand, weapon trafficking and weapons importing has two factors. You have the on-the-books weapon contracts that Lockheed Martin, that Raytheon, all these guys get contracts on. You have the import factor. Then you have the black market factor of trafficking, basically, and exporting weapons. These two things go together. The higher number of weapons that go into a country and importation, the higher number of outflow on black market weapons. It's just the way it works. Don't argue with me on it. You can do the research yourself. It's a known fact for many, many of decades with weapon trafficking, just what it is. So it's ironic that the weapon imports has increased 100-fold in Ukraine. At the same time, weapon imports to Africa has decreased 44%. Exactly what I told you guys last year, actually 2 years ago, that a huge number of the weapons that are going into Ukraine are not staying there. Ukraine's the size of Texas, roughly. Smaller, bigger, square miles, whatever you want to look at it. The fact that you have this country is importing more weapons than any other country in the entire world shows you the entire concept of what we talked about with weapon trafficking is 100% accurate, according to my contractor buddies that have told me firsthand what's been going on over there. So I just thought I would get a kick out of that. It's whether you like it, hate it, whatever, it's definitely happening. And the fact that they're trying to act like this isn't happening now, you can't even hide this anymore, dude.
They don't care.
They don't care.
No, Biden set all this up.
They don't
care. You know, and Biden didn't set up anything. Biden didn't do anything besides, you know, pooping his pants. You know, all Biden was doing was basically filling a slot for them to basically do whatever they wanted to do. And, you know, at the highest levels, and we talked about it before, and I read the whole article last week about Otto Kahn and how he says we control everything, the Republicans and the Democrats, both sides of the both sides of the narrative, both sides of it all the time, including this one. This is a great one. Trump drops the new tariff bombshell after Canada threatens to shut off electricity completely to three U.S. states. Now, let me say something to you guys here about this. This is nonsense. They can't shut off the power because the entire grid's connected.
Yeah.
Now, they can turn it off coming into the United States. That, in fact, they can. But the United States will have spinning reserve from other states that are attached to these other states, and the power will just come from the other states. It's very difficult to shut off power when you have an interconnecting grid.
Yeah, but if you're going that way, that's borderline terroristic as far as you're going to say that because we're giving tariffs to Canada, we're going to shut off your power.
Yeah, but we got to understand.
That sounds like.
Yeah, but we got to understand something. You know, Gaza's got to be destroyed. We have to finish the genocide in Gaza. Okay. Yeah. So in order to prevent us from talking about that, having news stories about Gaza and killing women and children, Canada's got to get the power shut off.
We got to remember, they got the Trump Plaza Hotel Casino in Gaza.
Yeah. But, you know, this is interesting. Donald Trump could continue his budding trade war with Canada by pledging to just get it all back with stiffer reciprocal tariffs next month. Ford has already followed through on the promise to put a 25% tariff on Canadian electricity to Michigan and Minnesota on Monday. The Ontario premier, who runs Canada's most populous province, now says he's ready to shut off electricity completely. He can't do that. He can turn it off from Canada, but he can't cut it off. Trump has shot back mocking Ford's plan and saying his promise of reciprocal tariffs will render anything Ontario does useless. I mean, this reminds me of Kamala Harris and word salad. This is going back and forth.
The whole thing with Canada. Okay, so let's look at the big factor on this. We don't have any significant conflict with Canada. If Canada wanted to go to war with the United States, it would last all of which, you know, 2 to 3 days, maybe. There is no conflict here. They're manufacturing conflict to talk about. What this is.
Well, remember, you know, Canada basically is run by England, by Great Britain. I mean, if you remember a few years ago, the Queen came over to Canada, like fired the whole parliament, whatever it was. I mean, it's completely controlled through England. This is rhetoric.
This is fodder, yeah.
All this is complete nonsense. And if they wanted to cut the power back, they could, I guess they could. But, you know, we don't have to buy their lumber either. We don't have to buy the cars that are being made in Canada. I mean, we don't have to do anything. So, I mean, I could say one thing about Trump is that he's trying his best now to just use the rhetoric about nationalism and making America great again. It's already allowed Canada and has asked Canada if they want to come in as a 51st state. I mean,
well, the biggest thing is that you got to look at is pre-1913 import tariffs were the primary way the United States paid for everything. Mm-hmm. Income tax wasn't a thing. And so the entire concept of what they're talking about doing makes a lot of sense. It's bringing back these import tariffs and reducing the amount of income tax that's stolen from the American population.
They're not going to reduce any taxes. They're not going to do that because they can't. The whole doggone country is upside down with debt.
It's very upside down. You know, and then I saw earlier, I haven't even gotten into details with that. Now we got this new spending bill that just came out for the next 6 months. And apparently there's a bunch of more finances and a bunch more money for Israel again.
Oh, they're always there.
And I'm like, dude, what happened to Doge coming in and cutting out a lot of this wasteful spending?
Go back and listen to James Traffic yet. Israel will not be touched. They control both houses of Congress, period.
Yeah.
You through AIPAC and through their lobbying efforts and all the rest they do. And you think, well, that sounds awful. I'm just telling you the truth. Go listen to James Traffic yet. He stood so strong. They had a man they said was Ivan the Terrible. Okay. This is a guy who was one of the concentration camp leaders back in the war. During World War II, and he wasn't the right guy. And they arrested him and dragged him off to Israel. Also, I don't think you even know this. And then so Traffic went in and said, you got the wrong guy. We can prove it. He's not even there. And so he went back to Israel as a congressman and got this guy freed. And all hell broke loose. He released Ivan the Terrible. Blah, blah, blah. Everybody starts screaming, right? And it wasn't even the right guy.
That's wild.
Well, right after that, Traffic gets arrested and gets put in prison for 7 years.
Remember that?
I mean, unbelievable. That was a very short Cliff Notes version of what happened. You can listen to James Traffic and talk about it. It's on YouTube still. Yeah. The crazy part about it is that nobody else wants to go in there and discuss this stuff and make a decision about what needs to be done as far as Israel. I think if we're going to cut out basically money, cut it all out. Israel's one of the most prosperous with the highest GDP per person in the world. We don't need to give them billions of dollars.
My stance is this. Even if somebody wants to say they're specifically picking on a country, I don't think any country needs any finances from the United States.
Now we're broke.
100% of foreign aid needs to be cut off right
Focus
now.
Focus on America. Let America – nothing.
I mean, infrastructure, railway. I mean, are we all going to forget about what happened with the doggone train wreck? You know, a year and a half ago, and then the EPA lighting all those PFOAs on fire up there. And now, I mean, that whole thing that happened.
That's the Midwest.
In the Midwest, yeah, up north. And so, I mean, all these things that are happening with the infrastructure, with the railways, with the roads, and we're going to sit there and be like, okay, we're just going to pretend that this isn't happening right now.
But we'd rather go ahead and fund, you know, Ukrainian, you know, transgender porn or whatever garbage we put out there. No, it's ridiculous. I mean, I'm just sick of it. You know, and so just stop it all and have somebody go through and put a committee together of conservatives say, wait a minute, do we need to do this? And why are we doing this? And what's the reciprocity of this?
Well, exactly. That's my biggest thing is what's the benefit? If we're giving a country another $20 billion in this bill that's over in the Middle East that does zero for the United States, what's the back end of it? What are we getting? What's the positive?
The Gaza resort with Trump hotels.
I mean, we could see if we could put a physical health mask.
I wonder if there'll be a Marriott so we can go over there and, you know,
and
use points to stay at the Gaza Strip.
Well, this is an interesting story. We'll see if the CDC does more manipulation on this again. The CDC has basically stated under RFK Jr. that they will study the possible link between vaccines and autism and pledges to leave no stone turned. This is going to go one of two ways. This is either going to be one of those theater stories. They're going to do the research and they're going to come out and say, we have found absolutely zero connection with autism and vaccines whatsoever. We have now closed the book on this and nobody can ever talk about this again. Or this is going to get brought up because RFK Jr. has brought this up repeatedly now. And Donald Trump just posted a thing the other day. So 20 years ago, autism in children was 1 in 10,000. Now it's 1 in 34. Something's very wrong. This is when he was talking about RFK Jr. getting in. So now apparently the CDC has made it official. They're going to go in and do full research and conduct a study using data from the Vaccine Safety Data Link database and figure out if there is a potential factor between autism and vaccines.
They already did this. And
they already know this.
They already did this study. They did a study. They found that black boys with the MMR shots at 18 months had a massive increase, and they told them to burn the doggone data.
Burn bagged it.
Yeah. It's unbelievable. I've already this is more.
Well, this is what I told you guys the other day with this whole topic that's going on with the measles epidemic now. Dude, there's hundreds of cases of measles almost every single year, according to the CDC's own website. They talk about it every single year. And now they're saying that everybody needs to get an MMR shot out in Texas. This shot needs to be injected. Everybody needs to make sure they're getting the measles vaccine. It's not coincidence that this just so happened to start right when RFK Jr. got put in. So, again, something to be aware of. Don't base anything off fear. Base it off actual research and coming to your own conclusion. That's just my stance on everything.
This is true. We already know that autism is caused by vaccines and a lot of other variables, probably glyphosate's in there.
Glyphosate.
You know, there's a bunch, but the vaccines are definitely a massive part of this.
I think, too, the research that I've looked at and that's starting to show now also, too, that glyphosate in the mother while she's pregnant, high doses of glyphosate also causes issues with nutrient absorption.
And for our new listeners, glyphosate's a compound that's used as an herbicide. That's
Roundup is the
Roundup is what it's called. Now, the generic term for it is glyphosate, which is the medical term, not the medical, the chemical term for it. And what's interesting about it is that, you know, we've got a problem with that because it's being sprayed on all wheat crops about a week before they're harvested, except for the organic ones. And so they soak the wheat kernels down with glyphosate. So when you bake the bread, it's loaded with glyphosate, which is causing all kinds of problems along with the GMO in the gut. And causing a whole bunch of part of the intestines to die.
And what happens is, in a real short basis of it, glyphosate in basically plants, it prevents the absorption and uptake of nutrients.
Specific nutrients.
This is how it works in humans as well. It stops the body from basically being able to uptake and absorb certain nutrients. And on top of that, it causes enormous amount of inflammation. There's two studies that we posted on the site years ago, and it goes into detail when mice were fed glyphosate-ready Roundup-resistant corn and the same things when they did it with pigs. When they had did it to the mice, all of them, every single one of them grew massive tumors. When they did it with the pigs, it ended up rotting their entire gut system out. When they autopsied them, their guts, as far as their digestive system, was literally mush when they were given Roundup resistant corn. So understand, this is a leading factor in a lot of health problems and a lot of cognitive problems, I think, in young children. Because think about it, if the mother's consuming enormous amounts of processed and ultra processed foods that's loaded with glyphosate, the baby's getting that as well, which also means the baby, the infant, basically in utero, is not going to absorb a lot of the proper nutrients from the mother.
Well, that's why so many babies are now being born with cancer.
Yes.
I mean we have the highest infant death rate of any industrialized country. I mean, you know, years ago, I told everybody, if a child eats just 3 hot dogs a week, they have 9 times the risk of leukemia.
Yep.
And, you know, all of this junk that kids eat all the time. The other day I was at a little diner, and they had like this foot long hot dog. I mean, the thing was huge. And I thought, what the heck? It's some little 3-year-old girls over there, dressed up in a little princess outfit, is eating this foot long hot dog. And I thought to myself, do I really want to go say something to these people? And I thought, you know what? If they're already giving her a hot dog, they don't really care about her diet anyhow.
Processed meat, sodium nitrite.
Unbelievable. I mean, she was a cute little girl. Apparently, they had gone over to Disney, and they got dressed up as a princess, and so they decided to bring her there to eat. And I thought to myself, how sad is this? This little girl is sitting here eating this doggone hot dog full of nitrites, and you think to yourself, this is just awful. And you start to realize that, again, 3 hot dogs a week, 9 times the risk of leukemia, and the number one cause of death in children other than accidents is cancer under the age of 14, and number one type of cancer is leukemia, and hot dogs cause it. And you think to yourself, this is crazy. But also remember, a lot of people believe that hot dogs may cause leukemia, but also a lack of vitamin C in some research studies show it causes leukemia. And, you know, the Gerson Cancer Clinic used to treat leukemia extensively with intravenous vitamin C and oral vitamin C to get rid of leukemia. Now, whether I'm not making that claim whatsoever, I'm telling you what they said. This is from like research from like 100 years ago before they started pumping chemotherapy into everybody. But, you know, if vitamin C deficiency and a subscurvy clinical diagnosis is looked at as scurvy and also looked at as leukemia, maybe we need to increase the vitamin C levels in these kids. How about that? But if you're giving them hot dogs, you're giving them like no vitamin C, Austin. And that's one of the problems of low nutrient
density. Exactly. And that's how it ties in together. This is back from the 90s. Mm-hmm. Hot dogs raise the risk of childhood leukemia. Children who eat more than 12 hot dogs a month.
That's 3 a week.
Yep. Could increase their chance of developing childhood leukemia 9-fold, according to the preliminary study in the Journal of Cancer Causes and Control.
Let's go ahead and post that.
We don't make this stuff up, guys.
Yeah, you know what I'm pretty impressed with is my memory. I haven't used that statistic in like 30 years.
That's why I brought it up. I knew it was accurate. I've seen it before.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm glad I was right.
This is from 1994.
I know. I know. My memory is that good.
But think about this though. We knew this in 1994.
And I was on the platform at seminars speaking to 1 million people telling everybody.
30 years ago, this was going on in research, and yet we still don't want to talk about it. And we wonder, why is the childhood leukemia rate going up?
You know, you pulled that up. I thought, man, I better be right on this one.
I didn't pull it up on the screen until I read it. I was like, let me double check this.
That's a long time ago to remember a statistic.
1994, man, 30 years ago.
You know why I remember it, though? Because I used it at all the seminars I did back in the 90s.
Well, and because it's a very honestly a very creepy statistic, because you think about a lot of this. I mean, because they serve hot dogs, too. It's all gone schools now under Michael Obama. They like,
you know, the set of reps.
225 behind the neck press.
I think it's 5'11 or 6 feet tall. I mean, it's a big man.
Anyways, hot dogs, stay away from them. If you want to eat them for a special thing, make sure you're getting some like the organic beef hot dogs without sodium nitrate.
Yeah, they taste awful, though. I think the organic chicken hot dogs without
sodium. They're not bad. The chicken ones aren't bad, too. Yeah.
I mean, Sharon bought some of those.
Try to get them without nitrites.
She got some of those doggone beef hot dogs that were organic and no nitrites and all that. Man, you could have used them for a 20-penny nail. Man, you could have driven them through plywood. It was awful. I bit into one time. I'm like, what the heck is this, Sharon? Oh, it's a beef all-natural hot dog.
Chewing a rubber tree.
No, I said, why don't we just go ahead and either take this back or put it in the garbage disposal? If we don't know, don't put it in the garbage disposal. It'll break the rubber. Can't run 20-penny nails through the garbage disposal. Like, get rid of these things. Then we have the turkey ones or the chicken ones, and they were pretty good.
Better, yeah.
Yeah, but they may have fixed that by now, but, boy, it was a rough one, boy. I tried chewing on it. I'm like, what is this thing, Sharon? It's awful.
You don't want to chaw.
It was so, yeah.
It never goes anywhere.
Oh, by the way, North Sea oil tanker basically has been struck by another vessel. Like, it doesn't look like there's a giant oil spill, you know, and so it's happening right now off the coast of England. So you got to ask yourself a question. Why does this happen? Well, I'll be honest with you. I know why it happens, because these ships, in most cases, are on full GPS running around the ocean by themselves. There's thousands and thousands of vessels out there right now. You can actually track them. And the crazy part about it is these captains and these people on the radios don't talk to each other. I learned this on a cruise ship. And I said, why don't you talk to them? Well, they don't speak English. They don't speak our language.
You got people from all over the world.
He says, so it's better just to watch, try to avoid people and watch the radar.
From my knowledge, most of the systems, though, when they put them on autonomous, because they have radars, they're connected with one another. They're designed to not hit each other. They're designed to avoid
apparently,
each other.
Apparently, whatever they did didn't work on this one. You know, but this happens a lot. You have these near misses with these. Aircraft carrier just got hit the other day. Because how do you tell somebody to turn left instead of turn right? When, in an airplane, they teach us that when you're flying towards each other, which way to turn if you're about to have a head-on collision.
Yeah.
Apparently, they don't bother to tell these ship captains that. This is horrible that this is actually happening. You know, it's crazy. I mean, it is what it is. But, anyhow, we'll go on for another story. What's your
name? Anyways, this is interesting. As Tampa housing markets started to collapse in Florida, they said, is Tennessee the next housing market to drop? That's off to a slow start this year, but soaring housing supply in several U.S. housing markets is causing alarming figures. They said in Tennessee, active listings are now up to 25,000 across the state, the highest level of inventory since 2017. Watch out, Nashville, Knoxville, and Memphis. The supply has spiked the most. And this, again, is why I told a lot of people, be very cautious with the housing market. Everybody went into that buying spree. It's called the fear of missing out. Everyone wanted to buy a house somewhere in a popular state like Tennessee and Florida during COVID, as the price was literally quadrupling in some cases. Houses that normally went for 120, 140 grand down here were starting to be listed for $300,000 and $400,000 down here in Florida. And people were sometimes buying it. And then you had BlackRock coming in
buying whole
subdivisions, would massively artificially raise the price of houses because the supply wasn't there. Now I'm talking to developers, I'm talking to builders all throughout Florida, and everybody's starting to get a massive glut of houses now, dude. Houses are not
because
moving.
They were being given to the migrants coming in.
That's exactly right. 20
million migrants that Biden brought in approximately.
And now what's happened is that a lot of that funding has stopped because a lot of that money was being driven through backdoor LLCs, through USIT and other platforms.
And I guarantee you a lot of that money that was being given to the immigrants, the migrants for housing, was running through different government channels and being given as subsidies.
Well,
that's
what
grants.
I'm saying.
That's right.
When USAID comes in and gives a $50 million grant to, you know, whatever they were doing, trans comic book porn in another country, do you really think they were spending that money to build comic books to give that country? Money was going to a contractor through an LLC getting funneled back.
And look at FEMA. FEMA was being used to completely support them. So there would be no money left for the folks in North Carolina.
Well, I guarantee you now, you're about to see a lot of those hotels start emptying people out now when they're not getting $50 million a week. As far as
subsidies. But you know what'll happen? You and I talked about this last night. You know, California running billions and billions of dollars in deficits, continually being subsidized by the United States government.
Money's fungible.
Well, yeah, if you really, really want to tighten it all up, just stop giving these states that can't run a balanced budget doggone, you know, stop
giving
them cash.
Especially the states, they're proud and they brag about being sanctuary states.
Just to stop giving them money and be done with it, and then all of a sudden they'll tighten it up real quick. When suddenly you're having to pay housing at $59 million a week for people that basically don't want to work, just thought I'd mention that. Then all of a sudden they're going to say, this isn't much fun. This is coming out of my paycheck now.
Yep.
This is awful. And Canada already has a super high income tax and everything else.
Well, no, this is what I think.
Not Canada, California.
This was kind of, I think, in my opinion, a play that BlackRock did. when they were going in, they were buying up these houses. They knew that the housing market couldn't sustain this long term. Yet they were going in and buying up houses, and I mean, in huge swaths, hundreds of millions of
government subsidies.
With government subsidies, and going in basically saying, we're getting this for federal grant money. They go in and buy these subdivisions and then basically sell them or rent them out to migrants. The typical mortgage payment for a home buyer in Tennessee is now 35% of the median household income.
That's crazy.
They said there's no historical precedent for affordability being this bad. The long-term highest average income ratio was 21% before this. And so remember what they said? By 2030, they want everybody to own nothing and be happy.
Well, you figure, let's say you make $100,000 a year.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. Well, you're going to have to pay about $40,000 in taxes and Social Security.
Yeah.
And that leaves you about $60,000. Well, now you have 35% of the gross income. That's $35,000. Now you got about, you know, $30,000 to live on. Now you got to make all your car payments,
insurance payments,
and food. And you can't do it.
Well, what's happened now, too, in Florida, and this is the factor that nobody's talking about with the housing market, the insurance in Florida is making Florida unlivable for a lot of people. I mean, I talked to a buddy the other day. He's had zero accidents. He's 38 years old, 39 years old. His insurance on his truck is $305 a month for full coverage.
That's super high.
No accidents. I talked to somebody else. Their insurance was $500 a month on their vehicle. Homeowners insurance now on average for an average house that's not a newer house is anywhere between $8,000 to $12,000 a year.
And
almost $1,000 a month.
And let me explain to you why this happens, because these insurance companies have record profits,
yep.
All right? The reason this happens is because of an inelastic demand curve. In other words, you're forced to buy insurance.
If you get a mortgage, you have to have insurance.
And you're forced to put insurance on a car if you finance it. So they can raise the rate as much as they want. In Florida, you can put liability coverage only on a vehicle, but only if it's not financed, because the lender won't allow that. Now, if you're being silly and you run around without any insurance at all, you know, then you're going to have your license taken away. But if you get an accident with just liability coverage and you total the car is done. But at least you got liability coverage to hopefully protect the other vehicle that you were involved with. But the reality is that, you know, a lot of people are simply dropping insurance and going to liability only if their vehicles are paid for, because the cost, Austin, is so expensive here in Florida now.
State Farm reported a net income of $5.3 billion in 2024.
That's right.
They're not hurting.
No.
Just be aware of that. The price they get, oh, we have to raise your insurance rates again. We're raising your homeowner's insurance to $10,000 a year. They're not hurting with the prices. You know, that's a total lie.
You know, Publix makes $5 billion a year in profit, and they turn around and charge us $12 a dozen for eggs, saying it's okay, we have to do it.
Yeah.
No, they don't. They don't have to charge. They've got contracts for egg production. They don't have to do that. They're doing it because they're gouging the market. When you have an inelastic demand curve, it's like insulin. If a person has to have insulin to live, they can raise the price as high as they want. They have to buy the insulin, otherwise they die. I don't care if it's $1,000 for a vial. You're going to pay it or you're going to die.
Yeah.
Period. And that's called inelastic demand curve. And when you have an inelastic demand curve and you're forced to buy insurance, you're forced to buy eggs, you're forced to do all this other stuff, all of a sudden you're like, well, wait, this is crazy. Because if you have a restaurant and you're serving breakfast, you're forced to buy eggs. And then you got to pass it on. And why in the world, instead of worrying about tariffs on Canada and all the rest of the stuff that we're doing, why don't we find out why these chickens are being killed and culled en masse by the tens of millions, and then turn around and get our egg prices
back
down?
Well, this is an article that just came out now where everybody's starting to ask the question. They're saying now this bird flu outbreak has allegedly been going on since 2022 now.
That's true, because the egg prices went up. They
went up.
They quadrupled.
This was during COVID.
Maybe $2 a dozen.
They said we've killed 160 million hens now, but allegedly bird flu is not getting better. It's getting worse. Well, you got to ask the million-dollar question. If it's not working by slaughtering and culling all the chickens, then why don't we do something maybe a little bit different? And then they come in with the addition. Oh, you've got a vaccine now. This will fix the problem. Problem, action, solution. That's how these guys operate.
I wonder how the hens feel about this.
They probably don't like it.
Well, yeah.
Don't want to be a pie.
Do you remember that movie Chicken Run?
Yeah.
That's a funny movie.
Well, this is what I talked to a friend of mine the other day that's worked in the livestock community as well. Is he said this doesn't make any sense, because the USDA has these individuals that are coming in there and they do these random testing. So they test a bird and all of a sudden they come back to the PCR test and say, this bird has H5N1. Okay, well, do we quarantine it? Do we let them burn through it? Are they transferring it to the eggs? Are we done any research to figure out where it's going and how it's doing this and if it's going from chicken eggs to humans? Zero research has been done. They say, you've got a million chickens on your farm. They all have to be culled. We're going to give you a 0% interest loan now to cover your costs.
It's so stupid, also, because, I mean, the ducks, the pigeons. We don't know what else is carrying bird flu and has carried it for generations or hundreds of years. And suddenly, I mean, if one of these birds has a duck land in there with, you know, bird flu, or a pigeon lands in there, I mean, these are some of these, a lot of times these places have open coops in them. They're not inside. So other fowl can get in there with them. I mean, it's crazy.
166 million birds have been culled since February 2022.
And I guarantee you the profits for the egg production people have gone through the roof if they were allowed to keep their hens, because they're allowed to put the product out when the other people can't.
Yep.
Anyways,
other stories.
The EU wants to use war as an excuse for more debt. This is a pretty good article by Finn Erin. The European political and financial elite knows that the war in Ukraine is lost, but wants to use it as an opportunity to reach strategic independence from the United States. Nah, I disagree with that. As the future chancellor of Germany, Friedrich Merz, said right after his electoral win on February, remember, he's Rothschild banking fund, you know, BlackRock. It would be an absolute priority for me to strengthen Europe as soon as possible so that much that it gradually really achieves independence from the United States. Because remember, it's still a vassal state of the United States because of their constitution and because of World War II reparations. Such strategic independence needs money and investment, a lot of it, not only to boost defense. Remember, he's BlackRock. But much less like energy and innovation areas in Europe is lagging behind. This, forgive the way he's saying this, because his first language is German, so his English is not as good. So I'm reading what he said. In order to have the pretext to implement this spending plan, the idea among the EU elite is to make sure that the war in Ukraine does not end too quickly. That way, the conflict can be used to justify artificially injecting much-needed money into the EU economies. First, there's a question of providing 20 billion euros of additional military support for Ukraine, and that the EU self-imposed fiscal rules be loosened during the existing escape clause in the event of exceptional circumstance, such as the bogus defense of Ukraine excuse. As Bloomberg stated, under this plan, EU nations will be exempt from debt and deficit limits when financing military expenditures. Are you listening? That's going to stimulate the economies without, you know, being, you know, restricted. This marks a fundamental shift to EU financial policy, as such exemptions have been previously been impossible under EU rules. In other words, they could go out and print as much money as they want without asking anybody now and massively increase their debt load.
Emergency use again.
But what else does it do? Now, I think through this, because he's not covering this. It decreases the value of the euro.
Yep.
What does that do? That increases the value of the dollar, because they're printing more and more currency here in Europe through the European Union, and therefore the M1's going to increase, which is going to basically decrease demand for that and lower the value of the euro, which is going to strengthen the reserve currency status of the United States. I told you a couple of weeks ago, and also I talked about this, this is the primary reason all of this is happening, is to maintain the reserve currency of the United States, to kick the can down
the road.
No, what they're doing is they're maintaining the strength of the U.S. dollar against foreign currencies. That's what this is, in order to keep our reserve currency status up until they can figure out how to get rid of BRICS, until they can figure out how to get a digital currency involved. Look at this mess with Bitcoin, up and down, 100,000 points, this or whatever. I mean, it's crazy what this stuff does. It's so unstable. That's why yesterday we talked about gold as an investment, how it doesn't have these crazy swings like
this. Well, no, that's the thing I've told you guys. Like, I know a lot of guys that are in crypto, and I mean, that whole market, if you're actually in that serious, it's unbelievably stressful. I mean, you were at 104,000 a couple of weeks ago. Now it's 76,000 yesterday. Now it's back to 82 today. Now they're talking about it dropping again super heavy. And, I mean, then the market's down 1,000 points yesterday. When you start looking at gold and you start looking at physical metals, they have such a basis because they've been used for so long. And you can manipulate the heck out of them with paper markets. But at the end of the day, you still have an ounce of gold or you have an ounce of silver.
That's exactly right. That's exactly how it's always been. That's why I was, you know, an ounce of gold will still buy a really nice custom-made suit.
Yeah,
if you want to spend $3,000
really nice
suit.
Now.
I mean, quite frankly, I'm not buying $3,000. That's crazy.
But no, that's always how it's. That's always been kind of based on that, hasn't it?
But I've seen a few of those though. I remember when Bill Cosby was speaking with us in Philadelphia. Oh, good old Mister. Let's go ahead and drug him into submission, Cosby.
Oh, gosh.
I don't know why he did that. The guy was worth $400 million. I mean, can't you find enough girls without drugging them? This is horrible.
That was horrible.
No, it's ridiculous. But he had the fanciest suit on I've ever seen in my entire life. It was a suit. I mean, the only other person I've seen wear suits like that every once in a while are these TV evangelists. You didn't say that, did you, Dad?
Whoops.
Whoopsie. You know, and I remember this one TV evangelist, he was wearing, and I know this for a fact because I knew his guy who worked with him as far as the president of the company. He was wearing a $3,500 tie.
A tie.
Tie. It's made out of Italy somewhere. $3,500. Now, you know how many different things you can do with $3,500 besides buy a tie? I guarantee you had a closet full of ties. It's funny, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty.
Now, it was a nice tie.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my. It's probably the prettiest tie I've ever seen. I mean, it's been an incredible tie. In fact, the truth is, I was on his talk show. This is terrible. I shouldn't even admit to this. He gave me the tie. I don't even know what to do with it. I'm scared to touch it.
It's on a shelf on a glass wall.
It's kind of like it has its own display case. And I called up the guy who worked for him. And he said he gave me this tie. He gave me one of his ties. And I told him it was. He goes, oh, that's $3,500 for a tie. And so, but when I do, every once in a while, when I read at the church, I put this fancy tie on.
Yeah.
And I always get all these compliments on it.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's the most beautiful tie I've ever seen, but it ain't worth no $3,000.
No.
I mean, what are you going to do? You're going to go get the doggone, you're going to go get lunch after church.
No, you don't get lunch in that tie.
No, you take, no, yeah, I don't. Yeah, I take it off.
You don't go to Five Guys in that tie.
Oh, I do, but I take the tie off. Yeah. It stays in the car.
Come on now.
And so you really, I didn't pay for it. I would never pay for it, but this guy.
Well, the thing that you've always seen, and we've all seen this, is when you start dealing with whether it's companies, whether it's nonprofits, whether it's people that are Ponzi schemes, they never care about spending money because it's not theirs. I've seen this so many times.
Well, this event was pretty much lost over. I can give me this tie like 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And it still looks perfect, by the way.
But I mean, I've seen it happen before. You got people that are making all this money or doing all types of nefarious things. They don't ever care about wasting money on it because they don't care.
Because the money's given to them for free.
Exactly. There's no profit margin on it because it's all profit.
You've got a mosquito right there.
The right
side,
here?
Other side.
Other side.
He's biting you right now.
He's biting me. Where at?
You got him. You got him.
All right.
Sorry about the mosquito thing. Oh, I couldn't.
He was getting me.
I know. I said I can't have you get injected with.
See, this is the part of Florida you don't get to experience unless you come down here. Giant flying hypodermic needles.
Well, no. Let's explain how mosquito works. They have a proboscis, what it's called, and it's basically what it does. It has an anesthetic that it has on it, and so it's able to insert this doggone proboscis into you and suck blood out. The problem is, and here's the problem with mosquitoes. The blood they had from the last animal or person or mammal that they basically injected is still in their proboscis. And so when they stick it in you and they basically put the anesthesia in there, it pushes that blood in from the other animal.
That's nice. You make me feel great about
myself
right now.
Well, no, I was watching this. I'm like, I can't do this. I've got to say something.
You guys watch me get malaria on live television.
Oh, God, it's awful. What's wrong with these two?
Also, too, in other news, this is wild here. Industry-friendly laws could mean more chemicals in the food production, and essentially RFK Jr. is trying to fight this. They said now essentially what has passed in the previous with the chemical industry has led to more chemicals in the food supply along with liability protection for these chemical makers. The Make America Healthy Again agenda continues to gain more popular support. They said the EPA is advancing a proposal that would block states from requiring warning labels on pesticides, herbicides, and commonly used agricultural products.
Isn't that ridiculous?
You got to think about this for a second. The Environmental Protection Agency, the EPA, is trying to push a proposal that will block states from requiring warning labels on compounds that are unbelievably toxic like pesticides and herbicides. You understand how twisted that is when you actually say that out loud?
Why are they trying to protect us instead?
EPA, Environmental Protection Agency, and this again shows you how corrupt this is. Moms Against America is the one who actually exposed this. They said at a state level, at least 11, as many as 21 states are proposing industry-drafted bills to grant agrochemical companies immunity from liability for harms from their products that they basically are licensed by the EPA.
And if you read right here, they tell you why it's doing it.
Yep.
Okay, basically what it says.
Over glyphosate.
Both proposals stem in part from the ongoing legal battles over glyphosate. Over 20 cancers have been basically attributed to it. The most commonly used herbicide in the country and the key ingredient bears Roundup weed killer. Extensive scientific research identified glyphosate as a carcinogen over 20 cancers and linked it to many additional health concerns, including autism. We mentioned that earlier, and decreased birth weight. Monsanto, which Bayer acquired in 2018, well, we were doing our show, by the way, faces thousands of lawsuits by people who claim they have developed cancer after being exposed to Roundup, which is true. Mayer set aside more than $10 billion to settle roughly 100,000 of the claims, although some of his settlements have been mired in difficulties. In other words, they never get paid. In 2021, Bayer said it would set aside another $4.5 billion to cancer to cover the cancer claims.
$4.5 billion. So what's happened is now Bayer and Monsanto are lobbying to do the same thing the vaccine manufacturers got done in 1986.
They
want to be shielded from all liability.
Well, Bayer acquired Monsanto.
Correct.
And so Bayer's got some super deep pockets.
Oh, yeah.
And probably thousands of attorneys
They're
on staff.
They're one of the, if not the biggest pharmaceutical besides Monsanto, or not the other one, basically what was it? The Pfizer.
Oh, yeah.
They're right up there with them.
But Bayer is huge. I mean, you guys remember Bayer aspirin? That's where it came from.
No, so what's happened is now they don't like paying all these settlements out because they own a product that they sell that's directly linked to cancer.
Now look at this garbage. Under President Trump's first administration, the EPA determined that glyphosate is not likely to cause cancer in humans. And the Federal Appeals Court rejected that determination in 2022. You know, in 2022, then EPA withdrew its decision, but still maintains that no cancer risk in humans is present. This is a complete and total lie.
Here's what you got to ask yourself the question. If there is no danger at all and there's no cancer risk to humans, how in the world has Bayer had to settle 100,000 lawsuits?
With billions of dollars.
There's no way any of those suits would have ever gone forward if there was no link to it whatsoever.
And speaking of the people that have been soaked down with Roundup now, there is an island in the Caribbean where you can go and the wealthy go to alter their DNA. This sounds like a James Bond movie. Remember the one with the guy with the diamonds? He went there and changed his face, let's change his DNA. This little-known island of the Caribbean is quickly becoming a mecca. I'm not promoting this island, guys, okay? But ultra-wealthy looking to live forever thanks to its non-existent laws around experimental gene therapy.
There you go.
Rotan, which is located 40 miles off the northern coast of Honduras with easy flights from the U.S., is a home to the charter city called Prospera in the futuristic Metropolitan, which is the brainchild of the Venezuelan board wealth fund manager Eric Ryman. There's a single digit. I don't care about their tax funds. One of the treatment programs, blah, 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 blah. Okay, blah, blah. Then they have treatments that are not approved by the FDA. It's illegal in other countries. It costs $25 and involves simple injection of DNA molecules that encourage the body to repair itself. Their effects can last for up to 2 years. Now, what's interesting about this place is operating outside of the law with all of this gene therapy. What the world do you think they did to you with the mRNA vaccine?
Here you go. Thank you. I was waiting on that.
They've changed our DNA, and the people, and many of the people who did not get a placebo, who basically got the shot, the real shot, and now you're producing spike proteins along with who knows what else.
Yep.
You know, I mean, this is crazy that they're actually having an island now that's changing your DNA with injections, and they're telling you, oh, nothing permanent here with mRNA vaccines. It's okay. Go ahead and take another shot. It's not okay. You can't change the human genome. Remember, this is what the Nephilim want to do, the fallen angels. They don't want you to be human. They don't want God to recognize you as human. They want you to be something else because they're trying to figure out a plan for salvation for themselves. They're pretty upset about
that. Well, here's the thing. The whole thing that was so insane about COVID is they took the entire concept of natural immunity. They took the entire concept of bolstering your immune system and staying healthy and strong, and they spun it on its head and told everybody everything we've known for hundreds of years, everything we knew about vitamin C, about zinc, about D3, everything you've known, we've researched it, is now completely and totally false. And the only thing you can do is inject an experimental RNA drug that nobody has any understanding of the long-term side effects. That's the only option for it. It was a complete lie. And they did a great job at it, though, because there's so many people that went along with it. Here's another study right here. It talks about vitamin C, consistent benefit and reduction of colds during among adults and 14% reduction among kids. They say here, regardless of higher doses, both results were found. Children given 1,000 to 2,000 milligrams of C had an average of 18% shorter colds. Then it goes into detail on zinc. Researchers found that zinc taken within 24 hours of appearance of cold symptoms significantly reduced the duration of a cold. There was a 55% reduction in the number of people symptomatic of a cold after 7 days compared to those not taking zinc. I'll post this on the website so you guys can look at it. But when you look at these studies and you look at what they've been showing for decades of what nutrients do to the body and how they preserve the immune system and bolster and boost it up, that's why it made me so irritated during COVID when they came out with these stories and CNN, they said the frontline doctors, they're all liars. Everything they're saying is a lie. Vitamin C doesn't work. Zinc doesn't work. Nothing works at all. You have to wait for this RNA shot to come out in order to save you. It literally threw decades of research out the window and said, this is the only thing you can do now. always ask questions when you have people making statements like that, and bold, direct. This is the only thing you can do. Listen to us.
We have a friend of ours who spent $5 million defending himself.
Because he made a comment about D3 and COVID.
Almost bankrupted himself. Yep. And I warned him. I said, you're going against the federal government. I said, just go ahead and settle
with it. I'll give him kudos, though. I mean, he did it. I mean, he pushed back. I mean,
he still hasn't recovered financially.
Oh, I know. The problem with it is, and this is the sad part, when you have a government that's this big, that literally has unlimited pockets, you're going against a organization, an LLC, a company, so to speak, corporations, what the government is. They just print more money.
Well, they tax you more.
They just tax you more. They print you more. They fine you more.
Yeah, and so once, as Roger Stone told me personally, he had 600 attorneys go after him.
600 attorneys.
Yeah, he bankrupted him almost immediately.
600 attorneys.
And then because he went to Congress and basically, supposedly lied under oath, which I don't particularly believe that he did. I believe that, I told him, I said, when you go back for the second, go before Congress, just take the fifth.
Yeah.
Because even if Trump had the pardon, so he wouldn't go to prison.
Yeah.
I mean, crazy. Oh, by the way, Chris Pratt, for a positive note. This is a guy who plays Guardian of the Galaxy. This would be
Jurassic Park.
Star-Lord, I
guess. Oh, yeah.
Reveals the pivotal moment that he surrendered his platform to God. I don't care if it costs me. Chris Pratt has built a career on playing heroes, from the lovable goofball Andy Dwyer on Parks and Recreation to Marvel Star-Lord. He won over audiences with his humor and charm, but his greatest mission in the Guardians of the Galaxy, star told Christian Post, is far bigger than Hollywood. Quote, I care enough about Jesus to take a stand, even if it costs me. It could cost me everything, but I don't care. It's worth it to me because this is what I'm called to do. It's where my heart is, the 45-year-old actor said. Because I'm a father of four, and I want to raise my children with understanding that their dad was unashamed of his faith in Jesus, with a profound understanding of the power of prayer and the grace and love and the joy that can come from a relationship with Jesus. You don't hear that a lot from people in entertainment, but it's who I am, and I'm not going to hide behind it. A city on the hill cannot be hidden.
Wow.
Now, I liked this guy before this, but I really like him now.
Wow. All right.
I mean,
I hear him.
This is pretty amazing. This isn't some B-listed Hollywood actor.
No.
This is
a big movie.
This guy has literally brought in billions of dollars.
He's going to be in the last Jurassic Park, too. They're coming out with my son's all about dinosaurs, so I was
forced to watch one with him the other night.
It wasn't a bad one, though.
Oh, it was a bad one.
What? Was it a new one?
No, that new one that came out about a year ago.
Well, the interesting part about it, though, is if you listen to what they talk about in there, they talk about genetic modification. Oh, yeah. And basically RNA gene therapy and CRISPR-9 gene.
And then he came over 2 nights later. Let's watch it again. I'm like, oh, great. Okay, let's watch it again. I'm sitting here working on the iPad again. How can I get a pair of headphones on? Just kind of block this mess out. Oh, my God.
Post-noise canceling.
Oh, I mean, whatever. And I think to myself, this is, but it's okay. If he wants to come over, watch it again.
8-year-olds like Jurassic
Park. In fact, tell him he left the DVD laying on the counter and didn't put it in his case. Tell him,
Oh, boy, he's going to be upset about that.
Oh, yeah.
He holds his Jurassic Park movies pride. I tell him, no, gotta put him in the case.
He takes the case with him because he goes, I said, can Uncle watch this now by himself? Well, he eyeballs me. He goes, why do you want to watch it by yourself? I'm like, well, I didn't see it because that was the first time I didn't know if it was any good or not. I was busy. And he goes, why, this is my movie.
I got it for Christmas.
Yeah, I said, well, can I borrow it? You watch all my movies. Okay. So he gives it to me and I put it in. It doesn't play. And then I say to him, I say, that movie you gave me doesn't play. He goes, oh, that's because the real one's behind the other one, behind that piece of paper in the back. The other one won't play. And I'm like,
it's got a secret compartment.
And
the
time
case.
I said, is that like need to know news, or I need to know that? And he goes, okay, Opa, you can watch it again, but I need to be with you. And I'm like, okay, we're good. We'll watch it together then. It's funny. And then he forces your daughter, Kendall, to watch it with him. We're going to watch it again. And Kendall's going, oh, this is awful.
That's 8-year-old and basically dinosaurs that are obsession.
But I love it. I watch it with him as much as he wants.
That's I'm okay with some of those. I mean, there's a lot worse things out there.
And here's why. I raised four kids, and they turned into teenagers. Things change when they become teenagers.
Yeah.
And when they're 8 years old, it's my favorite year.
Well, and he's always a big fan of Chris Pratt, too. So I'm not – I mean, for a movie star, at least there's a few decent ones left out there like him.
Yeah, Chris Pratt, I mean, he's got a really good personality on set. He really has a lot of good chemistry with the other actors and actresses. And so I like watching him on TV, too.
No, absolutely. And the thing about it is you got to pick and choose as far as what – people you want to support with stuff, because as far as movies, they're always going to be out there. You can't hide or shield kids from all those. It's better than them to go, he goes, oh, I want to watch a Disney movie. You know, I'm like, no, he doesn't ever say that because he doesn't really like Disney movies, because I don't have any Disney movies, because I don't support Disney and I don't go to Disney and I don't spend money to Disney. I'm just going to put that out there for everybody.
Well, you know what's funny, though? There's another actor, the guy who plays Jack Reacher. I don't know his name. The big guy.
Not Tom Cruise. Are you talking about
– 6 foot six.
He's
guy.
A Christian,
he's
too.
A Christian, yeah. too. Yeah, that's a big man.
The issue is it's so difficult in Hollywood to get anywhere if you come out as a Christian. At first, you notice that.
Start with.
So a lot of these guys, they kind of – unfortunately, they kind of keep it under wraps until they can start getting some big roles. And the problem is once they get some big roles – and they start getting public attention, and everybody loves them. Then they come out, they're Christian. These Hollywood producers go, oh, crap.
Well,
he's a Christian now.
Because of the Kabbalah, Luciferian synagogue of Satan finds out they're Christian. Like, we made him famous.
We made him famous, and now he makes us a lot of money.
Yeah.
But then you start going real far, like they did with basically Mel Gibson and Caviezel, and you do a movie like The Passion of the Christ. They go, no, you're not going to go
and,
do that.
And look at what Arnold Schwarzenegger did to himself with the stupid COVID stuff.
He ruined his
supporting Kamala Harris. And don't get me wrong. You know, Arnold, you know, he's Austrian, speaks German. But, you know, the thing about it is he's made some – and maybe he did it all to do all that because, you know, Jim Carrey did that too. He's kind of went off the deep end on the liberal side.
Well, then he went out hard against vaccines, though.
Well, him and his girlfriend,
McCarthy.
I think it was Jenny McCarthy.
Yeah, they went out hard against vaccines.
Right after that, boom, his career took.
Well, they got on the
Larry King,
and they started hammering vaccines.
About
that
autism.
Was it with Jim Carrey.
Oh yeah,
I mean his career just disappeared after that.
Yeah,
they started talking about vaccines and autism. This was back 20 years ago.
But I wrote that book on that. It's called Maximum Solutions to ADD, Autism, and Learning Disabilities in Children. Now, I don't have that book anymore. It's out of print. You get it used on Amazon. It's really expensive. And it's quite frankly, the material is pretty much outdated because it's over 20 years ago. But we were way ahead of the curve on this stuff, trying to show everybody where this stuff was coming from.
One last story I want to cover on here is we're about to close out of time. I suppose the clock's ran down. Biosafety experts are now getting on the New York Times and claiming that the USID cuts – all the money that we're giving away to these countries and contractors, we're setting the stage for another disease outbreak.
Total lie.
Total and complete lie. Now.
You said it was funding the doggone research in the bioweapons laboratories.
This is how they were doing it. So they're saying now that their overseas lab and their research is now being shut down, and it's going to set the stage for disease outbreaks. Well, my question is, what did the CDC ever do then? If the USID was the one who's funding this, where's all this money go? I mean, it's
the biological weapons, treaty back, I think it was 1989. It basically said that we could no longer do this type of research in the United States, and a bunch of other countries signed off on it. So USID went in, like into Ukraine and other countries that not signed off on this biological weapons treaty, and allowed all these laboratories to be set up to continue funding the research outside of the laws of the United States of America. We funded.
It says the exclusive interview with the defender, Ibrock, shared facts not mentioned in the New York Times article that completely contradicts. It said the fact of the matter that USID and other agencies support for overseas lab and reckless overseas research has been setting the stage for disease outbreaks. Ending this insanity will set the stage for reducing outbreaks. This is again what you have, where they have a problem, they do the issue, they cause the issue, and they come back and they blame everybody.
Well, they were running a lot of through Tulane University over these other countries, and we did a whole segment one time on this with USID, and this was like 5-10 years ago we did this, and we've done it several times since then because it was in my notes.
Yes.
And the sad part about it is when you understand this, you start to realize how in depth this is and how long term this has been.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it's been going on for a long time, and then you look at what happened with the mRNA vaccine. And then you start looking at what happened, you know, with Lieber and all the rest of these guys, the Harvard PhD that worked in this, and how he dealt with cell therapy and all the rest. And then you realize his dad worked with the doggone satellites and stuff that was retro engineered out of Roswell. We covered all
crazy
of this stuff.
So
crazy
again, guys, stuff. Thank you for supporting the Thrower Show. Make sure you're getting all your updates on here. Sign up for the weekly newsletter and be sure to get product of the week if you want to stock up on it. The zinc glycinate on sale last day, over 20% off. So you guys, thank you for your support. Thank you for the emails. Thanks for coming back to the office. I appreciate all y'all. Have a blessed day.
And by the way, I love you guys, and I appreciate you. And I want you to know, we try to inject a little bit of humor into the shows.
You got to.
Because we don't think it's funny, to be honest with you. But we have to try to make it so it's not as unbelievably horrific when we try to talk about it. Because you remember, your heart and your faith, like Chris Pratt said, based on Jesus Christ. He is the author. He is the finisher. He is the perfecter of our faith. And through him, we can do all things. Always keep your hearts and minds in Jesus. And please, thank you for continuing to pray for us as I continue to pray for you guys. I love you guys. And again, thank you for your support of Health Pastors.